Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Trying to follow the story of this new, or is it new, C12 variant. It's a new COVID variant, or certainly one that has suddenly attracted media attention. Professor Barry Shubb, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Well, thanks, Howard. Well, how are you doing?
Yeah, very, very good. Thank you. Is this a variant to be concerned about?
Yeah, actually, Howard, let me just take a step back. It's actually, in fact, a lineage rather than a variant. And I'll tell you what the difference is.
Okay.
This is a virus which is really, which mutates really. It changes really. It substitutes some of its building blocks. It deletes some of its building blocks. And as a result, it changes its characteristics. Now, when the virus, has these mutations, and it passes on these mutations to its progeny after replication, we call that a lineage. In other words, it's a series of viruses derived from parental virus, which has got these mutations. That's a lineage. Once it's established itself in the community, circulating in the population and causing illness and problems and so on, then we call it a variant. And we divide our variants into two groups, variants of interest and variants of concern. The variants of concern are the alpha, beta, gamma, the ones that we're kind of worried about.
Right.
The variants of interest are the ones that we're looking at. Now, this particular thing, C1. Now, C1 itself is a lineage which is quite old. In fact, it was first discovered in the first wave, you know, the beginning of last year, C1.
Right.
Now, since May, there's developed now the C12, which is the derivative of the C1.
Oh.
And this was actually first discovered in South Africa. Unfortunately, they're now calling this the African variant, which is incorrect on two terms. First of all, it's not only South Africa. It's been found in many countries, found in Europe and Asia, even, believe it or not, in New Zealand of all places. So it is fairly widespread. Now, you're asking, what's the importance of it?
Right.
Well, the bottom line is we don't really know at this stage. It's being investigated. So at this stage, it's a lineage. Once it becomes a variant, it's probably going to be a variant of interest only. And it's being examined. Is it going to be sensitive to vaccines? Is it going to be more contagious? Is it going to cause more severe disease? That we don't know at this stage. But the kind of worry and the concern are twofold. One of them is that it's got many, many mutations. In fact, it's got mutations at sites which give the variants like Delta a very bad name. The site at 484 and one other sites as well. And because of that, there is some concern about it. The other concern is that it is evolving rapidly. You know, in May in South Africa, it was about 0.2% of the viruses that were looked at. In June, it went up to 1.6%. In July, up to 2%. So it is still a very small number, percentage-wise, but it is rapidly evolving. And because it's got these mutations at these very critical sites, there is concern about it. We have to kind of keep tabs on it, keep a watchful eye on it, and see how to do it. But at the moment, however, we can't say that it's something which is causing problems. It's of concern, but not causing problems at this stage.
It's interesting, though, is it unusual that there's this lineage or variant or whatever it is of interest, but that comes from one of the first iterations of the virus. Is that a common thing or would we expect it just to sort of evolve from Delta to something else to something else?
You know, the thing is, of course, these viruses are circulating in a very complex environment, as the environment which actually selects for these variants. And this is really so unpredictable because there are so many components which are causing the selective pressure on the virus, and the virus will obviously select to its advantage. So the C1 initially was a lineage which probably disappeared. In fact, it was last detected, I think, in January of this year. It disappeared. You know, when I say disappeared from detection. Obviously, it didn't disappear completely.
Sure.
And what was remnant now developed the C12. And the C12 has got some advantages because it's got the mutations which give it a selective advantage over its fellow viruses, and therefore it multiplies. So we have to kind of see, is this going to multiply to a significant extent, or will it just peter out? That we don't know at this stage.
How does the detection work? Do we look for differences in behavior, or is there sort of randomized sampling of COVID positive people or results that is sort of looked at further or deeper to detect if there's been a change?
Yeah. The way it works, Howard, is that in South Africa, we've got six laboratories which form a network. Now, they get material from patients, and they detect the virus, and then they do what's called a genomic surveillance. They look at the genome, the building blocks which comprise the genetic material of the virus. And this genomic surveillance goes on continually. They're continuously sampling viruses, continuously doing this genomic surveillance. And this the South African network is part of a global network. And all these new sequences go to a repository which is kept internationally. The WHO has got a repository, the Centers for Disease Control got a depository, and there are one or two other depositories internationally as well. And they look at these new variants and then kind of assign to them, depending on how they are related to illness, how they're related to spread, etc. So this is a continuing genomic surveillance program which goes on internationally. So yes, the actual viruses are done basically a sampling, and then the interpretation goes according to how it manifests itself.
And would it be a true statement to say that the reason that they were picking up these South African variants is because we're actually pretty good at our detection and in our analysis?
Unfortunately, it's kind of to our disadvantage that you've got such a good surveillance, because now they're calling it, you remember we had the Beta variant, which is also nasty, and that was originally called the South African variant, until the government protested, and they said, no, you've got to call it the Beta variant. And now the C12 is now calling that the South African, they're calling it the new South African variant. I was in a program last night, in fact, an Israeli television program, and they started also tell us about the new South African variant. I said, well, let me correct you in a couple of things.
Absolutely right. Before I let you go, I saw a video that you put out about the attendance at shuls, at synagogues over the Jewish festivals. Can I just get your thoughts for our listeners, if you could share that, please?
Absolutely. No, I really put this video as a message to all congregants to please, our shuls are really safe places. They've been meticulously looked after and guided and advised by my colleague, Professor Ephraim Kramer. So they really are safe places. I've been going to shul every day, since we got back to shul a couple of weeks ago. And, I think that, have your own personal, protective measures. Wear your mask over nose and mouth. Sanitize your hands when you go into shul, sanitize when you come out again. If you need to blow your nose, do it outside the shul and sanitize your hands afterwards. And I think as long as you do these precautions, I think you're in a reasonably safe place. So it's really to encourage people to go to shul over the Yom Tovim.
And that is where we leave it, wishing you and your family a Shana Tova, and a gratitude for all of the incredible work that you've done, not only for our community, but for the entire country.